Hey, this is Threat from NIP, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 57 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, April 12th, 2017. The time, 8:51 p.m. I don't want to brag, but I think we have the best episode ever. We put a lot of heart and soul into this one. I'll be your host, one of them anyways. My name is Tim. But more importantly, the two most important men in my life. Brett, how are you?
Hey, BB.
Anuj, how are you?
What up?
How are you gentlemen today?
Fantastic.
Loving life, man. Good day today.
I feel like we stopped playing matchmaking just at the correct time before doing the show.
Oh my gosh.
After the Negev has been released. The Negev is back, apparently. We'll see how long Valve sticks with that one. But we're not talking about that on this show. No, sir. Episode 57, the best episode yet. That's because we will have e-news like normal. Short segment there of short stories that we just don't have the time to get to. We have Valve making schedules. And are they really the best at doing so? We'll talk about how Valve and Counter-Strike, they don't really communicate as well as they probably should. But this last weekend, we did have a pretty important tournament in Counter-Strike GO. Star Ladder Season 3 happened. And let's start the show off by kind of just breaking that down. Now, I didn't watch a whole lot. I watched the finals and everything there. I was in Florida visiting my mom and dad, doing, you know, responsible family stuff. But I did watch it, and they actually watched some of it. And really? They sat down, yeah, and they knew what was going on. I mean, once I explained to them what was going on, they followed along and had rooting interest in FaZe. They kind of gravitated towards them. I don't know why.
Yeah.
No real reason. I think the reason they gravitated towards FaZe was because they lost the first map. They lost in the finals on Mirage against Astralis. So I think they just
wanted the underdog story.
In their mind, they were the underdogs and they wanted to win. I don't know, dude. The more important of the story is my parents actually watched some Counter-Strike with me and they understood what was going on. Obviously, they watched me growing up playing it. So they were a little familiar with it. But that was fun, watching some esports with my parents. Star Ladder Season 3, though, did wrap up. It was another one where they used the tournament style.
It's Swiss system.
Swiss. Right? I wanted to say Dutch, and I was like, no. I
know. Close enough.
It's one of those.
It's one of those countries that have a lot of
snow and Vikings or whatever. So they used the Swiss format. I know the last time we hosted a tournament or we talked about a tournament that used the Swiss format, I was very for it. We said it's one that gives you kind of the best matchups throughout.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it prevents one team from just cakewalking. I mean,
right.
I understand people's complaints
because you have teams like VP who did awful. How awful, you ask? They were the worst. In the tournament, VP ended up going -27 in their rounds win-to-loss differential. They won one against MVP, but other than that, they were literally the worst team in the
They tournament. Looked like the worst team too, though. I mean, they played so poorly. There were games where they were winning two or three rounds at a time, and it was like, it just looked like a totally different team. And like we were talking about earlier, they're one of those teams that plays to their competition's level. In this case, they didn't play like they were playing against anybody. They just did not show up at all. And it's surprising. I mean, it's just been a lot of hype for them recently, and they've been going the right direction. So
maybe they partied too hard for Papa's birthday.
That's it.
Rolling around in that new E-Class.
Yeah, right.
Historically, VP has, like you said, they kind of play to the hype of the tournament, yeah. I feel.
This was a big one, though,
I think that's warranted to say.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of, they play to the hype of their competition, though. You can see that on their online performance. They just don't care, and I don't know if not caring is the right word. It's not like I'm in the room with them.
Yeah.
They definitely don't play online, though, like they do at LAN. And don't give me this, well, Tim, it's because it's online and the registration's different. No.
No.
I'm sorry.
Not buying it.
When you're that good.
Not buying it.
Right. Yes, online is smoother, or offline is smoother, but come on. This is VP.
This is still a big tournament.
You don't get relegated because your online connection.
Yeah, Star Ladder is something I thought they would have got hyped up for. It was, you know, it's in Ukraine. I mean... Not like it's,
and I know people are like, well,
their
it's,
region
it's,
is technically, yeah.
It's the Swiss,
say.
It's the Swiss format, and that's why they didn't make it out to out of groups and everything. Well, first off, because they only won one game, that means they only played one other match against other winners.
Yeah,
all their other matches were against other losers, so you can't use that excuse.
And
you can't use the excuse of them not caring or them caring or whatever, and you can't use the excuse of. The format. The format is in their favor on this one. They should have been playing really low class teams.
Well, the team they beat, Team MVP, prior to this tournament, was ranked, I think, 98th on HLTV's rankings. They're coached by previously Team 3D Rambo is their coach, their Korean team.
I think it was a top five for your CSGO players?
Top five of all time esports players.
Oh, esports.
And part of it is because I got to play him when I was younger, so he helped get us into the game, which was pretty cool. They're local to Dallas. They were a local group to Dallas. But anyways, VP beat a 98th ranked team and nobody else. You know, not even close.
They lost to SK on Mirage, Nip on Nuke, and Fnatic on Inferno.
Losing to Nip right now is a little rough. You
that's
know,
that's probably a team. If you need to steal a game, that's
that should be the one.
That should be the one that projects you a little, getting one more win.
What was exciting about this is G2 showed up, and I thought that was great to see them finally.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Is this like it might be the first or one of the first LAN tournaments?
LANs that they attended, yeah.
With the new roster.
Was it their first LAN together?
I want to say it was. I think I saw a tweet from one of them saying, like, finally great to get offline with the team.
Yeah, I thought they played really well. Obviously, they lost to FaZe in the quarterfinals. You lost to the champions. You didn't know that at that moment in time, but they took a game from them. The games were rather close.
In group stage, though, they were plus 32. Like...
That's pretty solid.
They look like a super team.
They were, you want to know how big of a lead that is? Their round differential in group play, G2, plus 32. Second place, Na'Vi, plus 19.
Yeah.
Like almost doubled the amount of wins, round wins, than the second better team.
Yeah, and took a map from FaZe. I thought that was they played them well the whole time. That was a really great series. That was one of the better series in the tournaments, and good to see all of them kind of coming together. Body really impressed me in this tournament. He shows that he does belong as part of the crew over there. I was a little not to say I didn't think he did, but I thought
he was kind of the one
where people were like, oh, how do you take him over Scream or something like that, right? But he played really well, and as a group collectively. They're going to look good going into DreamHack. I feel like they're going to be the favorites going in there.
Think about
looking even better.
Think about what a month ago I was here on this very show saying that I don't think the French shuffle is ever going to happen. So I lost on that bet. And then my second bet was if it does happen, Envious will be the better team. Not knowing who was going where, I just figured Envious was going to be the French team that got the better end of the deal.
But you thought, you know, they had the money and
it's the bigger organization.
Well, that was wrong too.
And G2 being the team that is just walking away with the French flag, like, wow.
Well, the Envious hasn't been playing bad. They just lost to Mouse yesterday.
I was going
to
say, have they been playing good, though?
Not outstanding, but it hasn't been...
I guess when the issue is you're comparing them to G2.
Yeah.
You're comparing the French shuffle and who won it, rather than looking at their individual performance.
The surprise of the tournament would obviously be our hometown, CLG. They made it to the quarters.
two big surprises, CLG right alongside with Hellraisers.
And yeah, you know, that match, the matches against Astralis weren't even that bad.
No, they looked really good. Yeah, they played well, and FNS stepped up at the right time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had people that performed, and so that was good to see that team who everybody was questionable about what they would eventually become.
They were leading in two of those matches. They ended up losing 2-0, right? But I know that they were winning in both maps early on.
They definitely
competed. Astralis had to rally.
Yeah.
And, you know, come back and take those maps. So good showing from CLG.
And even if Astralis wasn't hyped up, they're still number one in the world.
Yeah,
so for them to stay with them. They definitely hung with them and looked good.
I saw an interview, I believe it was with Tarek from CLG during the event.
Tarek
CLG. From Optic?
No, it wasn't Tarek.
Is someone from CLG?
Somebody from CLG.
Okay.
My brain went old CLG here. With FNS. FNS. That's who it was the interview with. FNS was, they were interviewing FNS, asking the I don't know the interviewer name, but I love him. They could do with the accent, and he's trying really hard to do American interviews. They were interviewing him after the match, I believe when they got out of groups. And he basically said, what is your opinion on the Swiss format? Like, you got in and everything there. Do you like it? And he was like, obviously, it helped us out, but it is going to hurt viewership when you have guys like VP or SK being eliminated early on in the tournament. I think that he has a point there, that you have SK getting out. That's going to hurt a lot of viewership.
Well, there goes South America right there, right?
Right.
Immortals was out.
You had the two biggest Brazilian teams being eliminated before groups, when arguably both should, in a tournament, be out of groups.
But I feel like the Twitch viewership was pretty much the same.
Stayed pretty consistent, I felt, too.
Throughout the whole thing.
You're watching the English stream, though. Did you look at the Brazilian stream?
Yeah, I mean, there were still people.
Brett and I only watched the Brazilian stream.
We speak Portuguese for ESL
because I don't want to go to YouTube. And I would rather just put it on mute for the Brazilian stream on Twitch than.
I'm just trying to learn Portuguese, so Rosetta Stone's a little expensive.
All right, I'll learn it with you. Sure.
And then you have VP. That's also a viewership. I understand his argument where that, but that could be any tournament. Ignore the Swiss format. That's any tournament where they could be eliminated before group stage.
And look at the semis in this tournament. You had top four, you know, of the top ranked teams in the world with FaZe. Really? You know, take out Hellraisers has been performing well. So granted, I know they probably advanced a little farther than people thought, but they played against North.
They took
North.
Advantage of it,
you,
though.
They did, but they've been playing well. You have Anavi.
Yeah, you take out Hellraisers and CLG, and the rest are like teams
prime time.
People know. Yeah,
Fnatic. Like, you know, who still has the largest following or one of the largest followings out there. And
I think my prediction will hold. I don't think they're going to last.
Fnatic?
Yeah.
I think just they'll last through Pride.
Yeah.
I think Pride will keep them together.
And where else do they go? I mean, they're going to, what are you going to break up and get into?
Are you going to break up?
They break up and it ends up being a nip split where they combine somehow, but.
Please, no.
What's going to happen here? I mean.
Like I said, I think Fnatic has realized that they're together because they're friends.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost like a Pride, don't want to be embarrassed and break up again. Like, they're going to work through
it. They're still making playoffs in every tournament for the most part. So, it gets really sour.
My argument for VP, while people were saying the format hurt them, while you were playing against losers, is my same argument to why the Hellraisers and CLG moving on is just even more legitimate, because they played against winners. Like, look at Hellraisers. They beat FaZe.
Mm-hmm.
Hellraisers beat FaZe. They lost to G2 on Cobblestone, which, okay. Cobblestone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's who started where is who that one's going to go with.
Beat North in a best of three.
Yeah, and back in the playoffs.
Those quarters, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just talking. I'm looking at groups here. And then in the groups, because they were playing winners. Then they beat CLG and then NIP. Now, CLG kind of had a soft ride, beating, Gambit, who is really an off and on team.
Just depends on when you catch them.
I don't know where I want to put Gambit. You know, they're in the majors and everything because
they're top 10 ranked now.
Because they always get the legendary status and they get those majors and everything, which helps their ranks and placements and everything. But they're a very hard team to. They're just not consistent.
They're hot. I know in one of the recent lands that they were going into, they were like super hot, where like over a month, they only lost like one match. So, I mean, they're, I mean,
when
it's
Hobbit
parody.
Was the best player on the team for a while there, that was great for them because, you know, you have Zeus, you have the firepower on that team, but somebody like Hobbit needs to step up consistently and play like he did in the major.
Yeah. It's tough to be reactionary in CS now because the parity is so, you know, vast. I mean, outside of Astralis, there's really not one team that's just way better than the other. So you can have tournaments like this.
Even with Astralis, I would say Astralis is beatable. They've looked good. This is their run that they're having now, kind of like SK had. But we got to remember, Astralis has won one major. Okay, so it's not like we're talking about a legendary team yet. But we're talking about a team that's performing well right now. But even now, this last tournament, they just got beat. So everybody's beatable right now.
See, FaZe scares me more than Astralis.
Really?
I agree.
I'm more afraid of FaZe than Astralis.
Why?
Because I think
firepower. Just firepower. Raw firepower.
I think FaZe is a lot better at not throwing your typical strats at you. I think Astralis would run the more standard strats where FaZe, they'll run 5D Eagles on their eco rounds.
Astralis, they're still creative. It's just nice that, I mean, these could be two. This is the rivalry.
Well,
I said it after
the major. I said it after the major when these two met up in the finals, saying that this is, or no, not in the major.
It was whatever last tournament was.
Yeah, whatever
the last
Astralis tournament. Beat FaZe.
Yeah, where Astralis beat FaZe.
But that was Nico's first tournament with them.
Yes.
And so Nico was new to the team.
Yeah. That was the tournament that I said, this is the rivalry that CSGO needed. Once SK and Fnatic kind of dropped off, we needed those two extra powerhouses.
Yeah.
And what's great about this is I feel like Fnatic and SK or LG at whatever saga you want to take them at, both of those teams were not likable. Like, you enjoy to hate LG and SK.
They were like the Yankees, the Cowboys. They had that Duke mentality.
There's something about their aura that you just didn't like.
Half of it is if you are not a Brazilian and you see a Brazilian stream or you talk to a Brazilian player. Like, let's be real. Like, they come across a little obnoxious at times.
No, it's just, a little?
Cocky,
the
flashy,
fan base as a whole is rather aggressive, so easy to hate them. Fnatic, they won everything.
They were the Yankees.
I mean, they were the Yankees. They were legendary status. They are the best team of all time in CS. You know, like, there's nothing comparable to them, at least as of yet.
And it's just like, it's like,
JW's face. So and now you have it where FaZe and Astralis, they're both very likable teams. So I feel like while I'm watching that finals, I'm like, dude, I don't even care who wins. Like, I'm rooting for both of you. There's a reason to root for both of them. And I think that it's a rivalry that everyone can get behind and not be like, oh my God.
I felt like a lot of people wanted FaZe to win because you have the team of like rejects, right? When I say rejects, I'm talking about people that were discarded from their teams previously, known to be a star firepower team, but never had the team play together. You just had a bunch of run and gun shooters and
the Kerrigan storyline who
revenge for him.
Revenge after being kicked off the team and almost beating him in Katowice. You have the Nico story in general, right? Everybody loved Nico and everyone felt bad for him on Mouse Sports. The fact that he was Mouse Sports for so long, he carried them into statuses where they never belonged.
Yeah.
And now he's on a team where he picked up, there was no downtime, no learning curve for
Hit
Nico.
The ground running,
which
dude.
Just speaks to measures on how good Nico is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And how good Kerrigan is to implement him, and people are gonna say, "Well, hey, he's got great firepower. How is it that hard?" But there's so much team play involved in this, and timing.
They're all every single one of their players: Kerrigan, Nico, Kiyoshima, Rain, Alu, all of them throughout this tournament and Katowice. Watch their matches; all of them have their clutch moments. It's not like, okay, this is on Nico again to win this. No, all of them will have their clutch moment where they put the team on their back.
And I was watching, just watching that tournament, even when FaZe had a bad round and it, panned over to, you remember we were talking about this one episode where Nico, I was like, his body language is bad. I mean, he's losing, he's slamming his fist down, he's hitting his monitor. But on this team, they lose a round. He's just like, you know what? We got the talent around us. We lost this round. Let's win this eco. Let's force up. We'll win this one. Well, you know.
He's got four other players with him that he can rely on this team. Look at Kiyoshima. Look at like I said, we're going back to the storylines here. Kiyoshima getting to play against G2. That's pretty awesome, right? He was, what, the problem, as they call him? So for him to get a beat then, you have Kerrigan obviously getting to beat Astralis. Alu never getting an opportunity to win a major, never, getting booted
but
off.
But he was always God Alu, right? Like he was always
God or Bot, one of the two, right?
One of the two, he was always that.
The issue or the savior at random times for NIP. So all of these guys, it was just fun to watch them come together and win one. And to do it against Astralis and this type of event is just big.
Yeah.
I think it's also neat because it's something you don't see in Counter-Strike or esports very often, where they did it the right way in the sense of making a roster by going one at a time, figuring out, we like this personality and we're going to make these personalities work to complement everyone's talent.
I mean, who knew all it took was to get about $500,000 in gambling skin money and be able to buy Nico. That's all these orgs need
and
to do.
And that's the one thing that I think people would
bring
up.
That's the easy route, right?
Like, it's easy to pay everyone when you guys were
come
behind
up with a quick
a gambling
half mil.
Scandal that everyone just, for some reason,
like take all our skin money and just go buy the best player in the world. Why not?
And then I think that would be the one reason why people don't like FaZe.
Kind of crazy. A couple of crazy stats here from the tournament. So FaZe won 11 pistol rounds in a row, which was a record for consecutive pistol rounds to win, which is insane.
They went all the way to where Astralis.
Astralis won in the second game or something. They picked up
like the second half in the second game.
Something
they finally
random, yeah.
Them.
But it was insane.
They only lost two, right? Two pistol rounds.
Yeah, the whole tournament or something. Yeah. Insane though. So
and they would
pistol
like 5-0 people. They would completely go flawless.
For
on
a team
rounds.
Like that to guarantee yourselves essentially six rounds in the game, unless you lose an eco, but they weren't losing those rounds. That's like pretty good for a team like that. And then the second thing is I saw was Rain has had like 11 team members in like the past year. And they were like, oh, other people have had that too. But he's the only one that's had 11 team members when he's been on the same team the whole time. So they've worked their way around to find something that works when they booted off Kiyoshima and brought him back. And it looks like they've found a good mix here. And this could be a team to watch out for quite some time.
They found a good mix of personality and skill.
Yeah.
And it all works.
Yep.
And there's one thing to also take away from this. If you're watching, if you're new to Counter-Strike and you're thinking maybe I should get in and play Counter-Strike, I'm going to watch the pros and learn what to do. Don't do what FaZe does. Don't buy a D-Eagle in your eco rounds thinking you're going to do what FaZe does.
You're not
going to
get 3-1 taps.
Not even pistol rounds.
Yeah. It's like
Nico's buying like D-Eagles and pistol rounds.
Now it's a genius move because people don't buy armor and pistol rounds. And he's rocking a D-Eagle. All he has to do is hit someone once in the leg, and his other teammates can spam whatever, you know, a Glock and get that kill.
They won crazy rounds throughout the whole tournament. It was so consistent that it almost seemed normal. So, yeah, I mean, exactly right, Tim. Like, don't do anything you saw them
do in that tournament. FaZe does. They play very unconventional Counter-Strike.
You know, and we've talked about the winners from this tournament. The biggest loser, in my opinion, is Na'Vi. Like, these guys are back into that semi-quarterfinal slump that they were in pre-Simple. Like, they looked dominant throughout group stage in here. They were only, I think, they were second behind, you said, G2, right? They played well. They get to these opportunities to make it to a final, and Astralis has kind of been their hurdle and been the team that they can't get by.
Again, just a victim of just parity and running up against a better team.
We say better team. They have the same type of firepower. There's nothing that they lack that Astralis has.
Strats and work ethic, maybe.
Hard for us to tell that on our end. But as far as firepower goes, they're equal to anybody. I mean, you have essentially one of the best oppers in the world, Simple, Flamey.
Could be one of the two best oppers.
Yeah.
It is weird that when did Simple join Na'Vi? Simple
last year?
August.
You know,
last August of 2016, Simple joined Na'Vi, and I feel like we're still saying, just wait until they figure that out. Wait until they figure out how to fit Simple into their play style.
It's not just losing to Astralis. They lost 2-0, and they got manhandled in these games. These weren't really, these weren't 16-14 games we were talking about.
You know, I was waiting after that match, just looking at Twitter. I was like, okay, what is Simple going to say? You know, he's just going to, blow up. No, he was just like... I'd like to thank Star Ladder and, you know, my teammates. We're going to get better. I'm like, whoa.
He has matured. Okay. And there's right. no doubt about being under like a player like Guardians leadership or anything. You're going to mature.
Mm-hmm.
But
that hasn't helped.
It hasn't translated to their.
And he's played well. He's not been the issue for them at all.
No.
It's just been as a group. They just haven't come through.
They won ESL New York.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that that stands out to me where Na'Vi has really done something since the simple move last August.
This one really had to hurt because this was in front of their home crowd. You know, they were playing at home. And so they had the audience behind them. Everybody had Na'Vi signs and Na'Vi shirts up. And then you get rattled the way they did and just totally beat down by Astralis.
Since Simple joining in last August, they have won one tournament, being ESL New York, like I just mentioned, and got third and fourth in the Epicenter in October. Other than that, they have not placed higher than fifth place in any tournament that wasn't a qualifier.
Well, in the major, they lost to Astralis in the finals, right?
No. No, the E League major?
When did they lose to Astralis again previously?
They got fifth to eighth in the E League major. Maybe. You had VP and Astralis in the finals of the major.
Yeah, I wonder who they lost to in that. I thought it was Astralis as well, though. I feel like
they might have lost to
Astralis. Yeah, I think they just lost to them multiple times.
They did. They lost in the major. They did lose to Astralis in the quarterfinals 2-1.
So they've had the bad luck of going up against them multiple times.
When you're going
times.
Up against arguably one of the best teams in Counter-Strike, the hottest team in Counter-Strike right now.
Well, and at the major, Astralis wasn't known to be the... No. You know, that was their coming out party.
I mean, in retrospect, yes. Yeah. They're still good.
Their roster is still talented, and it's good to see Simple just kind of like mature.
Yeah.
And because if you look at the top 10 teams, top 10 teams on HLTV, I think 9 of those teams, you look at them and it's like, oh, those rosters are familiar. There's continuity there. Don't change.
The reason Na'Vi, I don't think you're going to see a change is for what, like Anuj was saying, they have the firepower. Like, who do you look on Na'Vi's roster and see it's their fault?
Yeah.
Reason they're not.
You
got
to bring in somebody for the region to be on that team. And the next best player is Zeus. So what are you going to do? Bring him back on? I mean, they're not going to make any changes, at least right now. Or if they do, I don't know who they would bring in. But this was a good tournament overall.
You'd be swapping people in and out with Hellraisers and things like that. It just wouldn't work out.
It would just be another French shuffle kind of feel. And this is the
They already have the super team in place. With Hellraisers performing better than what they have been, they're not going to make a roster move to contribute to a shuffle.
Well, Hellraiser signed contracts yesterday.
And it hasn't... It is not to the part where they're in just a complete free fall.
Yeah.
That's why the French shuffle happened. Not because Envious wanted it or G2 wanted it. It's because they both needed it.
They weren't even making it out of groups.
Both French teams were in a complete free fall and imploding on each other's friendship.
Yeah.
That's why the French shuffle happened. Not because one team needed the trades. It's both teams were not.
These guys just
anywhere.
Need to avoid Astralis. Find a way to get on the other side of the bracket and meet them in the finals. That would really be the easiest thing.
Sandbag their way to something. Yeah. And one thing not related to actual like matches, but what did you guys think about the dual camera?
I hate it.
I hate it too.
Actually, we talked about this in our Discord, which you can join, by the way, if you're a listener. Just go to our Twitter at the Center Ring and get in our Discord. We're typically always active there, especially during tournaments.
Yeah.
So I talked to Alchemist, who was the producer of E-League, E-League Major, and MLG Major, and I asked his professional opinion on the dual camera, where you're seeing both players' perspective.
Which we value.
And, well, awesome. Ooh, I want to say value.
Careful.
But saying I value Alchemist's opinion is pretty strong. Let's be real. No, I'm just kidding. But, and even he was saying, like, it's rough to watch.
Yeah, it
In clutch situations, I didn't know which way to look.
I was like, wait a minute, left or right.
They're doing it wrong. Our buddy Alchemist, you know, he said it the right way. I mean, the observer is following that one person because, you know, they're telling a story. You're building up tension. And you don't get that with the dual camera. And they didn't even do it right. Like, if you're going to do a dual camera, how about show someone else from the other team, not someone else from the same team on the main observer, you know?
Well, and sometimes you would do it where they do where it was like a one-on-one.
I mean, why on map three in that Astralis, the Astralis phase final, mm-hmm. not one time, I looked, I could be wrong, but not one time do I remember, oh yeah, there's a dual screen and it's a 1v1 scenario. And
see, you know, now I do know there were some times where it was.
I remember it on 1v1, and it was honestly, maybe not that game.
It was honestly more, like you're saying like, oh, do that. I think the grass is greener on the other side, because the 1v1 with the split screen, we're talking production now for the Star Ladder Season 3 finals. Apart from that, they were really good. And I understand you have to be creative to innovate and everything in production, and esports needs it. This is not one. It was confusing.
Mm-hmm. There may be better ways to do it. Like, you don't have to get rid of it altogether.
I don't think so.
Maybe using it in early rounds and showing different perspective of smoked executes or something to show that and then back out.
Yeah, but not in 1v1s.
No, 1v1s.
A, because in a 1v1, half the time, both of you are just going to keep spamming to try to peek a corner, and it's already crazy enough as is. I don't need two people where I'm trying to watch both, and both people are peeking, and then all of a sudden, one person dies, and I'm like, well, I didn't even get to see a sick headshot.
Show me, one viewpoint, and give me the x-ray vision, and that's all I need
even
at that
if
point.
It's that, even if the person you're watching dies, I can still...
You get the picture of what happens.
I still appreciate that headshot.
Yeah. Right? Did y'all like the bomb timer? Because I love that.
I like
that,
the bomb timer.
So
awesome.
You want to talk about changes that are good? That's a game changer.
That
everybody
was a really, really
is
good
going
one.
To have the bomb timer.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that it was color-coded to where, okay, at 10 seconds...
You knew exactly, they got
if
it.
If they don't have a plant or whatever, you're good. Or if it's past 5 seconds, then there was no, oh man, does he have time? Is it going to work? It's no.
And it wasn't even necessarily for the diffuse part that I thought it was exciting. It was during the actual retake to see when they were making their moves, how much time, how well they knew, I got to make my play now or we're going to have to back out and just get rid of this round, you know? And they're just so... It's such a different mental aspect of the game that the average viewer doesn't see, and now you can learn it from their perspective little.
You see how close they really are.
They
or just
know
how
it,
fast
like how
it
quick
goes.
Their reaction
think,
is
like,
to knowing the
when you
the
don't
times.
Have a timer ticking down, you might not realize a retake ultimately happens within 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And once that bomb is planted, they have under a minute to not only...
Under 30 seconds. They have 30 seconds. Bomb planted... In comp play, you have 30 to 35 seconds. It's not a minute. Yeah, it's not 1 minute.
However long it is, they have very minimum time to plant the bomb and then possibly rotate, get the kills, and then defuse.
It all happens very quick.
All under a minute. We'll play it safe and say under a minute because you can't argue that one. So with under 1 minute, this all happens, and I feel like you never really... Like you said, for maybe a viewer that doesn't watch Counter-Strike, you never really appreciated how fast and how precision those retakes are. But with a bomb timer up in there, it really
helps. And like I said, just from a viewer standpoint, you see it at a different angle, and it's like you just realize how close they're actually cutting it. And yeah, I thought that was a great addition, and I hope they continue to do that. Yeah, it's 35 seconds in competitive rule set right now, 40 seconds in... what we play for MM.
Okay.
But yeah, 35
right,
for 30, the comp.
35.
So it's short though. I mean, they're making things happen in a short amount of time, and that was cool. Overall, the production was good.
The split screen was the only thing that drove me insane.
the championship, like the finals, there was something with the audio that I know would have drove you crazy. When the commentators were, doing their thing, you could hear the speakers in the background, and you could hear just the random D-bag, fan out in the crowd.
Could you
talking.
See? I guess I couldn't hear that because I wasn't really. I mean, I had my TV on mute half the time.
I could, and it was like, come on, guys! Like somebody's got to know.
That crowd mic was just next to
you. You could hear the because they're translating. There's somebody in the background, and you could just hear it. In the speaker, that kind of drove me crazy a little bit. But
that's
the broadcast.
Right. Overall, very good tournament. Mm-hmm. I loved the results. I loved the matches were good. Swiss format, I'm still a fan of. I understand not everyone likes it. They think that it doesn't present the best results in groups. I argue that it's a fair playing field. Mm-hmm. And if a team wins, they're winning against winners.
It hasn't let us down so far, right? Like, I mean, no. I don't feel like I've had a disappointing tournament that I've watched.
No, I mean,
with this
okay, so SKVP didn't make groups. Well, on the opposite side of the spectrum, you had CLG and Hellraisers make them. And how crazy is that? You know, like, it's good to see those other teams in
for
there.
OpTic, or not for OpTic, for VP and SK, win your matches. It's really not that complicated. You lost some bad, winnable games. That's on them. That had nothing to do with the format of who you're playing. Win your games in advance. It doesn't change their side, I don't feel. I feel like it's just better for the viewer to see those types of games.
Yeah.
Were those soundproof boots that they were in?
Yeah.
They were, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was good. I wish more tournaments did that.
I personally like soundproof booths. I don't think organizers like the look. The look isn't that cool.
But you got money, make it look better.
But
then,
for being practical, I like this.
I only ask. I saw them wearing you saw their HyperX headsets and things like that. And it was like,
headsets.
Look like they have like those big black earphones
right.
on.
It's because those booths are always
earbuds.
Those booths are always soundproof. Now, one thing though, I want to move on from Star Ladder and get into this next discussion, which I guess you could let's do a little impromptu salt mine. Segment. The Salt Mine segment, for those who don't know or are unaware, is a segment where we can just kind of be salty, right? It's a safe place to be salty and be upset and everything there.
And someone
we'll all be salty on this
one. There was someone on our Discord today, a viewer, right? Was that a viewer?
We do have a Salt Mine category in our Discord, which is the same concept.
And person vented today and we listened like good.
We supported them. Yeah,
right. We Dr. Filled the heck out of them.
Yeah, that's right.
And now I want to, for this segment of the Salt Mine, I want to label it as Valve doesn't know how to schedule.
It's a good label.
Yeah, it's a solid.
Solid.
You know, that's like, what I do.
So
front
creative.
Page headline right there.
Valve doesn't know how
that's
to label.
That's why you're a fearless leader.
That's why I don't know. Why don't you guys come up with the title?
Whatever.
So this...
Major Valve Issues.
Yeah.
Major.
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. Major Valve Issues.
Right.
There we go. All right. Anuj, you win this one. If you haven't figured out what we're talking about, the upcoming major, the PGL major coming up here in Poland. When is it? I have it right here. Does any of us have that in front of us?
It is July 23rd, 27th. It starts the 16th, ends the 23rd.
Okay.
PGL so major.
Here it is. Okay, so yeah. July 16th. Yeah. July 16th through the 23rd. I know I had it in my notes. That's coming up here. Now, one of the issues with that tournament, and I don't know where have you been if this is just all of a sudden a thing now, but it is really in the breadbasket of a lot of big tournaments.
The
weekend...
One of the biggest.
ESL 1 Cologne is... Not Cologne? Which one is it?
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah.
ESL 1 Cologne.
ESL 1 Cologne. Yeah. ESL 1 Cologne...
Which has been a major previously.
It is the one city that has hosted the most majors. I think it's like hosted like 3 majors.
Yeah.
They, for all purposes, probably thought that they were going to get this major... Well, they're the week before this tournament, a historically popular tournament. And you would think, okay, well, teams are just going to do both. Not always the case where Astralis was the first domino to fall and say,
well,
we're backing out of ESL 1.
Well, teams have done it previously of like, hey, we need time to practice. We can't do all of these tournaments. We got to have time to practice. I'm sorry, we're going to bow out. Godsent did it.
Right.
You know,
not unheard of for teams to back out
not unheard of
tournaments.
Right.
But for ESL 1, that's a big tournament to back out.
As a fan, you're like, how does this happen?
Right.
And
that's a lot of the background is, Valve, this is ridiculous. Because Valve majors are Valve sanctioned. Valve is the developers of Counter-Strike, for maybe those who don't know. And when there's a major, it's a Valve-sanctioned tournament. They're the ones who front the money. They make the rules for the majors. And people always say, well, how can this happen? Well, we are privy to some information as far as kind of what goes behind the scenes is how they pick majors. And it's quite backwards to how you think it should happen. You think this is probably like some very well thought out thing where Valve gets together at the beginning of the year and plans out these majors, and then they just announce them later on.
It's like a big poker game, right?
It really is. I mean, it's...
You would think there's some big meeting at the beginning of the year where everybody sits down to, like, let's figure out our four majors this year.
You got ESL, MLG, all these big people getting together and say, okay, let's divvy this up and be fair.
You guys get one this year, yada, yada, yada. No.
Wrong. And there's a reason why you don't know what the next major is until a couple weeks after the previous major. And that's because the way majors are decided in CSGO, majors being the biggest tournaments, this is where you decide who the best team is at the moment in the world, are at these million-dollar tournaments. They are decided at that tournament. So what it is, we'll use E-League, for example. Okay, at the E-League major, Valve is there. All the big wigs from all the other organizations are there. You have Valve, obviously being commander-in-chief. You got people from ESL, people from MLG, PGL, Star Ladder, DreamHack, all these
anyone
hosts.
That is important in this world or CS is there.
Exactly. And they're all giving Valve their best pitches at that major. So at E-League, all these people are getting together, and this is where they are making their sales pitch for the next major. Not for majors next year, not for, you know, two majors away. No.
For 3 months out.
For the next major in this year. Okay, so they're in a room. They're basically showing them their best hand, saying, this is what we got. This is what we want to do. We have ideas. And we want to do it at this stadium or this venue, right?
Yeah.
Valve will take all this in. And then they're like, okay, well, let's see who we want to go with. Then they select PGL and says, okay, PGL, we'll pick you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Now go get us the stadium.
Yeah.
And they are at the mercy. PGL and Valve and everybody else in the CSGO world is at the mercy of when they can book this stadium, which just happens to be right in the middle of all these other tournaments.
And you know what they're doing? They're crapping on people like us, the people that fund these things through, you know, Steam purchases and skins. And, you know, because like our DreamHack trip is a year in the making. We're adults. We have to plan these things out. I have to plan vacations months and months and months in advance.
Listen, kids, you think when you get older, you just get all this freedom?
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Don't get old, kids.
Not true.
Right? Just stay young.
That only comes when you get married.
That's right.
That's when all the freedom kicks
in. You know what?
Yeah.
Why don't you even have a kid after that and then tell me how freedom.
Look, it's a total horseshit at this point, right? Like, this is like rough that this is the way it's done. It's almost mind blowing to think you have tournaments that have millions of dollars on the line where they're also booking millions of dollars in booking fees. You're talking about travel for the players, organizing hotels, staff at these places. It's like, hey, you won the major. Go get it, and now fight between a Bieber concert and a Taylor Swift concert to find the day that you can book the location you promised.
And
us.
I am not blaming PGL because obviously you're going to take, if Valve is giving you the major, you're going to do everything in your power.
You're going
to
book it when you book it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is your job, right? You are a tournament organizer. You're not going to be like, you know what, Valve, I really appreciate you giving this opportunity for the major, but we just can't do it. It's just too busy. We're just too busy right now.
Or do you think PGL sitting there and like, oh, guys, man, the only weekend this is free is like, after ESL1. Like,
and then,
we shouldn't do this anymore.
Isn't there like some major qualifier that...
There's like, I feel a moral obligation to not do this.
DreamHack Summer,
DreamHack Atlanta is
on the
same
worst weekend.
It's the worst showing. You're not going to even teams there. You're going to have tier two NA teams there.
I know this, but is this really true where DreamHack Atlanta is the same?
We need to tell Ogmus, like, all right, hey, we need you to go to that and just do a breakdown of that tournament. I mean, just...
Let's see.
Like,
it's going to be
like
selfless.
Brett, I agree with you completely. Like, it is... Got to be the worst feeling as a fan that booked that ticket a year ago, just like we did for our DreamHack event. We've been talking about DreamHack for 7 months. For those of you that don't know, we have looked forward for this event for as long as
DreamHack
you can remember.
DreamHack Atlanta is the 21st through the 23rd of July, the final weekend of the major.
That's great. That's great.
You have it on playoffs. DreamHack Atlanta is the playoff weekend of the major.
What are these people thinking when they go into the next bidding war and DreamHack is sitting there like, well, you screwed us on this one because now it's booked on the same weekend. ESL executives are going to be in there and like, hey, you screwed us on our biggest tournament of the year. Like, these guys,
but again,
they're
not saying that to PGL. Like, I don't think any of these people are going
to
knock each other.
Not to PGL. They're saying it's a Valve.
Everybody knows how this game is played. You tell Valve, you make these promises, and then when Valve gives you the go-ahead, you're like, oh, damn. We need to do this.
These guys should band together. Your PGLs, your MLGs, your ESLs. They should be the ones getting together to, like, make some sort of statement or stand here.
And unfortunately, it's probably not going to happen.
No.
It's going to be a slow road.
It's not.
It's just like...
This is not going to change because it's Valve's game, and Valve controls it. And we all know Valve does not listen when it comes to this type of stuff.
Well, to a lot of things, but to this in particular at this moment. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy because these are not small tournaments anymore. These things you feel like should be a year in advance. I mean, even for team scheduling, team scheduling,
planned and announced. And even if you don't know where it's going to be, there should be
dates
on the calendar.
Yeah.
I get it if you don't know if this is going to be on this day for this stadium a year down the road. Okay, that's what happens when you don't have designated stadiums.
Yeah.
But you have to have the dates down and then figure out the location and city so you can actually have a functioning schedule.
Yeah.
And you don't have a major, which is going to be the biggest tournament. Teams are going to go to the major.
And there's obviously more to this. I mean, like, because if they try to do dates, well, I'm sure ESL has some type of agreements with Cologne to do some sort of big event there on a yearly basis. Like,
it's going to
It's
take,
just the whole thing
listen,
just seems like it's a mess.
We're not fixing the problem.
No.
Right? We're not going to fix the problem in a 20-minute discussion.
We're throwing a little salt on it.
We're just putting a little spice.
Yeah, that's all we're doing.
Put a little spice.
Letting you guys know how garbage this whole thing is behind the scenes. It is not...
If you thought it was garbage before... It's really mind-boggling. And the crazy thing here, just a fun fact, MLG, actually, before the MLG went to Valve and pitched the major there, MLG actually already had and paid for the weekend at Nationwide Arena in Columbus. So at the ESL 1 Cologne major back in July of 2016, MLG went and pitched their idea and said, listen... We already have the stadium and we already have the dates. Like, we're going to do a tournament there regardless.
One way or the other, yeah.
Let's make it a major. Let's make this the first major in North America. I went to that major and it was awesome.
You said PLG, you meant MLG, right?
MLG. Did I say PLG? But, yeah, MLG. MLG.
But Tim, NA can't throw a tournament. That's good.
I beg to go... Go back there, all right?
Hey, that on viewing was fantastic. It looked like the crowd over there was awesome. And it, like I said, it's just sad to see some of these big events now that are going to take a hit, that's going to hurt the fan base locally. Maybe viewership is not going to be affected.
It's these teams where they are going to be scrambling to where, think about it, you're going to be trying to qualify in group stage for the major. If you don't qualify for the major, then you're letting all these other organizations or tournament organizers know last minute. Like, hey, by the way, we can be in this tournament. They're going to get last minute tickets, fly across the world to go do these other tournaments. It's going to be a mess for some of these teams.
I mean, and ESL 1's not small. It's $250,000.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, how cool would it be for us, you know, if it was 8, 9, 10 months in advance and we could all, you know what, guys? Let's book a trip. Let's go to Europe. Let's watch a major.
Or hey, next year we're going to Florida. That's where the next major is going to be in June of next year. We that's not an option.
Yeah, but I can't go to my wife and be like, hey, Linz, there's this major that we kind of want to go to in 3 months.
We're in the minority of the age group in this particular genre. You know, we get it. We're a little bit older. But the point is, we think it's hard for us to plan. Imagine how hard it is for these organizations to get all their stuff together to get out to these events.
July June, July is going to be one crazy month for these organizations. Keep an eye on the travel.
I hope just something bad.
Again,
I just want to see maybe like teams miss a flight or just something happens.
Somebody
where,
gets screwed,
you know,
in
just
Columbus.
Like something
ESL
goes wrong.
Like throws in fake bomb threats at the airport.
They can basically take a train from Cologne to.
I know, but just a kick in the pants.
How do you pronounce the place that it's at for PLG? Is like Krakow or something?
Krakow.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
So that's. And I get some teams are still going to play at Cologne and then go play in the major. And that's fine, right? That's their schedule and they have a right to be that busy.
But
salty point is they shouldn't have to even make that decision.
Right.
There should be
two big exciting events on their own.
There should be a 2-week gap for travel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is only because it's a major and it's a big tournament, right? Only because it's one of your major tournaments of the year. 2-week gap between anything else and this major to give teams time to travel, adjust,
boot camp,
get it done.
Even 2 weeks, I don't feel like is enough.
It's still like more than what it is now, though.
Right?
You know, even if they came to some like 2 weeks gives you enough time to get over your jet lag, you know, get into a place and boot camp for a week and a half. Or whatever they need. You know, these guys are playing together all the time anyway. But like I said, I don't think at the end of the day, viewership is going to be hurt.
No.
You're going to go on Twitch and you're going to see 100,000 people watching simultaneously.
This won't affect us at all.
No.
No.
It's bad for the organizations. It looks bad for Valve. It looks like 10-year-olds are setting up the event. I'm picturing a bunch of people around a table eating pizza and Valve guessing like, hey, who do we want to take? Who do we want 3 months from now? And that's just not a good look.
That's really what it is, right? It's
unprofessional.
It's unprofessional. It's crazy to me that these events that run by the end pretty smooth from what we can see are fully designed and delivered off of hollow promises from tournament organizers. And I don't blame the organizers. Of course, you're going to make these promises to Valve because you want the major. You want that.
I feel like the only way this is going to change is if esports just like takes off and networks get involved. Like,
yeah, because then they're going to need
something like that.
When you get TV involved and everything, they need schedules.
But we have E-League now. So even that necessarily
Is a huge reason why E-League was given the major was because Valve saw what they did on TV, and I mean, obviously they're up for Emmy, so they did something, right?
But Valve doesn't have to make it a major. Oh my God, if they don't make E-League a major and it's on TV, I will.
Doesn't that give you a whole different level of respect for these tournament organizers, knowing that basically they have 3 months to prepare an event that you're going to have 1 million+ viewers, you're going to have the top talent coming, you have from design to getting the place,
you're getting staff, hotel, the event, everything. You're putting on $1 million event that's probably costing a couple million.
Imagine being the coordinator for that thing. We thought Sean Spicer's job was hard.
They don't get
this
paid.
Person's the real deal right now.
Could you imagine being the event coordinator for like PGL and being like, all right, guess what?
Yeah, that's
you got like 3 months to get this all figured out. And that's just when you have to do this. And you really have like 2 days to call this place and try to book an event for like 4 days. Can you do that for us?
3 months out? Sometimes I don't even get hotels.
And by the way, we need another venue nearby that can host the group stage. All right. Thanks, man. You know, just call us when you're done and we'll go from there.
It took us 6 months to figure out our DreamHack trip, which is 3 hours away drive time for us.
We're just now finalizing who's driving to that and everything there. We are doing a big DreamHack preview next week, but we'll get into that here in a second. For now, though, let's close the salt mine for now until our next venture. Just put a little bit of salt out on the table for you, and we'll move on to a little bit of e-news. Your weekly segment of just the news that we just didn't have time to get to, their headline stories, their whatever. They're the little guys. But it doesn't make them any less important to our hearts. Let's start off with some CSGO. China is getting into CSGO, finally. And in fact, I never knew this was like a thing. I never knew China was never a thing. Like, CSGO is never a thing.
Like, China's not,
China was never a thing.
Never a thing.
Never,
never knew China was there. What, like,
where
what
did I come
this?
From?
I just thought that was a League of Legends clan. No, I never knew CSGO like was never officially in China, which I guess makes sense why you never saw these Chinese teams except for just a handful that...
Like, Tai Lu and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Tai Lu and the Mongols and things like that. I guess that makes sense. But CSGO is breaking into China. There was a few things announced. Apparently, the new UI is going to use Source 2, but Source 2 is not coming to Counter-Strike.
It's not
going to
be a full conversion of Source 2. Gaben even said this in his AMA. That's just too much work. It'll change too many things within the game. But they can bring over bits and pieces at different times, starting with the Panorama UI, which will be a great addition because that'll give us a whole bunch of features that we don't have and things that people want to see on the homepage of your game. So... that'll be neat, along with, obviously, the new operation dropping. So we should have the new operation coming to us in the summer of this year.
And China is a huge market. They, historically kind of control any type of esport that they're in. So keep an eye out, CSGO fans and newcomers. This might be a good time to get into CSGO. For the esports scene.
One more thing on that was kind of cool announced with it is you're going to see Valve creating their new anti-cheat system. It's going to be coming along with it. So there should be a new anti-cheat system out for those of you that play MM and are not on ESEA.
Right.
We'll see.
I'm holding. Right.
Well, yeah. they made it as part of their slideshow for them.
The salt mine.
So it'll be hopefully a new and updated anti-cheat system. Also, you Chinese guys better not hack because it's like a lifetime ban. It's like an Overwatch kind of ban. So
it's... So we'll see. You know, I think we were joking around in the show. Well, it was fun for NA to be number two for a while in CSGO, but it's...
Get ready.
I mean, look at... Go watch Overwatch, right? It's... The Asian community has a different mindset and different strategy and different discipline when it comes to it. They won't break out on the scene super fast, but just wait. You're going to see a Chinese team...
Watch any RTS or MOBA out there right now, and that'll
China number one.
When they put their mind to it, they're
pretty damn good at what they do.
Pretty good. Winter Fox. Now explain this to me, Anuj. Winter Fox owner leaves the team stranded in Australia. He owes money and visa issues.
Yeah, so the team just got stranded in Australia. He left and came back to the States, and I don't know the full details.
Like the flight was about to leave, and he just looked back from the boarding and was like,
deuces,
guys. Well, I'll talk to you guys later.
The funny thing is he does owe, there's people that are previously on the organization that have come out and said that he's owed money to them. But the worst part of this was these guys had a tournament in NA. Like, it was like one of the leagues. I don't remember which one. But they had like a league match coming up in a day or two,
important.
And it's like, you're about to be playing in Australia for an NA match, so get ready for your 200 ping in your pro league match that's coming up. So, a little bit embarrassing news, for them, but hey, that's the news for you.
Ropes, we discussed him, I think it was last episode, in episode 56, we discussed Ropes. He's that teenager prodigy Counter-Strike player who wasn't signing with any team.
Been winning FPL consistently month after month. As if it's not him, it's Oscar over there. And funny enough, he joins Oscar and crew and is now on Mao Sports. They won their first game today against Team Envious, so it was a good win for them and an opportunity for this kid to come out of the shadows. And we'll see him on LAN and see how he does.
See make Mao Sprite again.
See if it lasts. then you have in Street Fighter news some pretty big news as far as when it comes to. Capcom Pro Tour premiere event. Infiltration cancels his appearance for NorCal Regionals coming up here. He tweeted out, I think it was today or yesterday, that he canceled his hotel and flight. Infiltration, we discussed him last week during the E-League Group A preview. He's been struggling. He's engaged. He's getting ready for a wedding and everything. Plus, he had the weight of being number one in the world last year. He just dominated everything. And he hasn't really adjusted as well to Street Fighter as he hasn't found his character. For a while there, he played as Ken, but it hasn't worked out. Okay. So he backed out. He just said he wasn't ready to perform in the Capcom Pro Tour if he's not going to be able to play at his best. Okay. I guess you can have your opinion on that. I think you play.
You play and get like second or third and still make a living out of it.
You could be 10th place. You're still getting more points on the Pro Tour than you would if you just didn't go.
Maybe it's a pride thing, probably.
It is. Yeah. I'm sure it's a... Well, no, yeah. I promise you it's a pride thing. I mean, he is... You know, he's from Korea. Isn't that like a thing in the Asian culture where it's just if you're not performing at your top, you don't want to go and embarrass yourself.
Fall on a sword? Where are you going with this?
I don't know, man.
He's already not a doctor, so that's probably a letdown to his parents. If you're going to be in competitive sports, you're not going to be number one.
Maybe then that's what it is.
Stay home.
We're just going, like, every episode, we're going to have, like, stereotypes.
Oh, we're already hated.
Right, we're having fun here, no?
Yeah, sure.
Right. And speaking of E-League and infiltration and all that, the E-League group finals did finish up. Moving on to, I guess getting out of Group A, right? The Group A finals were just last Friday. You have Punk and Momochi. They ended up going through there. Momochi ended up beating Smug in the losers finals 3-0. Smug was actually my one out for there. But that being said, we did have an American with Punk making it out of Group A. So Group B, I don't think they're actually doing Group B this week. If I read the schedule correctly, which is why we're not talking about Group B, I think they're skipping it because NorCal is this weekend. They have Capcom Pro Tour is having an event this weekend. And obviously, E-League is not sanctioned by Capcom for being a pro event. So... Obviously, you can't
they're not booking on top of each other?
You're not going to have pros.
Look at that. Organizations working together.
Yeah, right? They're putting it away. Go figure. It is possible if you just think about it. You had this here on Anuge where Fnatic raises $7 million with investment.
That was actually me.
Oh, that was you, Brett? Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Anuge. I questioned you. Fnatic raises $7 million with investments from AS Roma and Boston Celtic owners.
Right. I mean, I think this is...
I thought this already happened.
No. Well, I mean, it's been out for like maybe like a few days.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think it's a big deal because, you know, this just happened with Splice, you know, getting facilities established, you know, just having a base of operation. And that's part of what this $7 million is going to be going towards, getting a facility together, paying talent. I mean, just... building the infrastructure for, you know, the organization, just having it, you know, stable. I think it's a good thing, you know,
if they use it right.
Yeah.
For Boston, they'll have no association though because they don't have any NA teams, Fnatic, right? Like none of their teams
are NA.
They're
primary European.
It's really going to be the owners just making an investment.
Yeah,
and helping
I take,
grow in
I
this
take
case.
All investments with a grain of salt in esports.
Well, I like that money is getting pumped into the.
I used to get excited for investments, and now I quickly like backed off because it's kind of like that's all it is.
It just depends on where the association is coming from. A team like North, they have the football facility right next to a football soccer facility right next to them, where they can go and play at Boston yeah. Celtics. You're not gonna see. Team Fnatic playing in the Garden anytime soon.
And to build off that, Anuj, like I like that because it depends on the investor. You know, if it's the Boston Celtics and a sports franchise investing in an esports team, I get on that. If it's some like billionaire I've never heard of that's just like, yeah, sure, I got money. I'll just throw some money at this.
I'm not saying that nothing's going to come from that, but it's just slow moving. It's hard for me to get excited when it's like, look at how long Dignitas has owned... was owned by Philadelphia, the 76ers.
Me, Brett, and Zach Dixon all
they
agree
they haven't
that
done
this is big.
So anything.
It's big. You got to get on board with this.
I disagree. I disagree. I think...
I mean, it's business.
It's
it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I know, but again, it's investors. It's
Fnatic's
rich
not
going to
be playing in the Garden, but these guys are the money's coming from the right place.
Like
from
you
sports
say,
people.
It's
right.
Sports people. Sports people are billionaires. They are the billionaires making the organization.
But
who cares?
But
it's all investors.
But what we're saying is it's not just some random billionaire.
A billionaire from here, a billion from there. It's $1 billion going into an organization.
We'll agree to disagree on that.
But I just don't think it's as big a deal.
We already know.
I'm right there with
it's
you.
It's an investment. It's what rich people do.
We'll bring Zach Dixon back on for round two to explain this for you.
It's just what rich people do. They invest in things.
He's so fiery about this.
I'm not
this.
Saying...
So fiery.
God. It's because all of this is what it is.
We opened the salt mine today, and then now he's never exited the salt mine. Just, like, he's stuck in the salt mine over here.
I'm going to say one thing. It's just because they don't ever... All of them make the same generic statement. They make a big investment into an esports team, and then they're like, oh, we're just really great for this opportunity to get into esports, and it's just a booming industry, blah, 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 blah.
What do you want them to say, Tim?
I'm just saying, don't try to paint the picture.
Tim wants to see Olaf dunking on Paul Pierce tomorrow. Right.
I'm just saying, don't try to paint a picture that you care about esports trying to make it seem like you think it's legit. They see a dollar opportunity.
But do you know that, though?
Yes, I can promise you the Boston Celtics don't care about Fnatic. I promise you... AS Roma isn't like, thank God we can finally invest in Fnatic.
It's a smart way for them to venture into another sporting opportunity and see potential. Whether that potential takes place this year or 5 years from now, I think they see an opportunity for growth for their franchise, and that they're not just investing money to see, like, hey, let's see if we make turn this $7 million into $15 million. What's $7 million to both of AS Roma and Boston Celtics? It's nothing.
Nothing.
What it is a growth opportunity where I feel like, hey, we have facilities now,
and
we're
going to
get into this in a moment with some of our other stuff here with other areas opening up esports facilities, but they see it as an opportunity, I feel, to grow. We might not see that come back this year, but I think long term, there's a lot there that this money is going into for that reason.
Get on board.
And that's what I'm saying. You're not going to get me excited right now for any investors.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
Doesn't matter. I'm not excited about any types of investor.
We're dropping salt on Tim in case y'all can't feel it over here.
I just don't think it's a big deal.
All right. All right, Tim.
We'll end on that note.
Left the last two notes off E News off. He's just done for the day.
While we're still friends, we'll end on the note of me being right and you guys being wrong.
You have to see me every day. So.
And I can turn both of your mics off right now and have the last word in this argument. So deal with it. Episode 57 of The Center Ring is done. I hope you enjoyed it. We had some opinions. If you have opinions, let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring. Maybe you agree with me because you're smart and investments in esports is very meh and it's whatever. Let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring or join our Discord or do both. That's actually the best way to do it. At The Center Ring on Twitter, you'll see a Discord link there. You can also get on our website, www.tcr.gg, for all the latest episodes and out-of-date YouTube episodes. That's a staple of the show, is out-of-date YouTube episodes.
We have a revamp coming soon for you guys. We're working on it.
Yeah, that's what you can say. Give it a lot of time, and that new website will be up. We will be back next week for episode 58. That is going to be a wall-to-wall coverage of DreamHack Austin. Because we are going there, we felt like it was necessary that we break it down. So if you're going to DreamHack Austin and you're wanting to hopefully know everything there is to know, I think we're going to cover most of it.
A little survival guide for you to get through the weekend.
So it's definitely not one you want to miss. And even if you're not going to DreamHack Austin, it is a weekend full of esports. And we're going to touch on all of that for you. That will be next week on episode 58 of The Center Ring. Until then, keep it easy, stay safe, and again, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring.